If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 48 through 51. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 48 through 51. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, beginning in verse 48. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistines. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sunk into his forehead and fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took a sword and drew it out to its sheath and killed him, cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. This was 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 48 through 51. Here's Brother Farron.
Ronnie just read for us the battle between David and Goliath. This is recorded throughout the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Earlier verses tell us that for 40 days, Goliath had challenged anyone from Israel to come and fight for him, and no one would accept the challenge. David, however, accepts the challenge to go and face Goliath. Now, Goliath was real. You know, we grew up as children learning about a particular giant. He is at the top of a beanstalk. We all know the story of Jack and the beanstalk. And Jack had to deal with a giant. Of course, we know that that was pure fiction, that there was no such giant at the top of Jack's beanstalk. But Goliath was a giant. And Goliath was real. He was not some figment of someone's imagination or was written down by a pen to tell a story. He was a formidable foe. It is estimated that he stood from 9 feet 4 inches to 10 feet 10 inches, determining on how you measure a cubit. Some people measure a cubit at 15 inches, and some at 18 inches. So there was a variation in the exact height of Goliath, but he was a very tall man. The weight of his armor was more than the average man, at some 200 pounds. The spearhead of his javelin weighed some 25 pounds. He was an accomplished, seasoned warrior. He was one who had never known defeat. No one could stand against him. And no one in the Israelite army wanted to stand against him, for they all feared him. Now David, on the other hand, was not even a soldier. He was not a trained military person. He was nothing more than a young boy. One that Goliath himself even described as being ruddy. Now, ruddy in the dictionary means pale and shamefaced. He couldn't even wear the armor that Saul gave to him to wear before he went into this battle, because he was much too small for the armor. But yet he went anyway. Verse 40 of 1 Samuel 17 tells us that he went to a nearby brook and that he selected 5 smooth stones, put them in his pouch, and took his sling and went out to face Goliath. Now, a sling was an accurate weapon in the hands of the right person. In fact, in Judges chapter 20 and verse 16, there is a record there of some of the children of Benjamin, some 700 left-handed men who could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. So it was a very accurate weapon in the hands of one who knew how to use it. Smooth stones, which was selected by David here at this brook, was better for throwing because it would travel faster. So David chose 5 stones. Apparently, David thought this was all that he would need. Now, there's something else that you may not know. Goliath was not the only giant in the Philistines. There were 4 other giants among the Philistines that we know of that come from 2 Samuel chapter 21. There was Ishbi-Benob, who was a giant whose bronze spear weighed some 300 shekels. And he thought that he could kill David. The second giant's name was Saph. Saph was one of the sons of the giants of Anak, of course, or Gath, rather. But he was actually killed in the Battle of Gob by the Israelites. We have Goliath's brother. We don't know his name, but the Bible describes him as the brother of Goliath in verse 19 of 2 Samuel 21, whose spear shaft was like a weaver's beam. This giant man was also killed at the Battle of Gob. The 4th giant was an unnamed giant, a man of great stature who was also born as a son of Gath. He had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. And he was killed at the War of Gath. Verse 22 of 2 Samuel 21 tells us that all 4 of these giants fell by the hand of David and the hand of his servants. So this tells me that there was, after David's victory over Goliath, there was not a fear any longer of the giants of Gath. For even the giant could be slain. Now, Baron, why are you telling us all this? What is so important about all this? Well, the answer is very simple. Every one of us in this room and every person on the face of this earth has their own Goliath to deal with in life. It may be something personal. It may be something financial. It may be something dealing with your health. But we all have something in life that overwhelms us, that is so big that we may actually fear. It could be we doubt ourselves and our abilities to deal with our problems. It may be something mental like depression that we may get from failure to deal with our problems. It may be simply a lack of faith that we have in God as we are tested by our problems. You know, Paul referred to this as a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." I don't have to tell you today that we as Christians face persecutions. It may come from those who do not appreciate Christianity. It may come from those who are the false teachers. It may come from physical things of life, but there is something in our lives that we would classify as a Goliath because we are overwhelmed by it. Our Goliath will come to us from within and from without. Now, David chose 5 stones to deal with Goliath. And today, I want to suggest to you that there are 5 smooth stones that we need in our lives as we face our Goliaths each day. The first one, we need the smooth stone of reliance on God. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 26, David said, when he saw what Goliath was doing, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" that he should defy the armies of the living God. And in verse 37, when he came to Saul and said, I will fight this man, he reminds Saul, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. And he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And then when he faced Goliath, in verse 46 of 1 Samuel 17, he said to Goliath, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You see, when it comes to Goliath, it doesn't matter the size of a Goliath, regardless of how big and overwhelming and strong that they are. But what matters is the size of God. David knew that God would take care of him. David knew that God had already promised to be with Israel as long as they were faithful to him. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 3 and 4, God tells the children of Israel, do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. And then again we read in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 7, it says, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. We can rely on God. Regardless of the Goliath that we face in life, regardless of the problems that we deal with in life, we can rely on God to stand with us. And we can rely on God to fight for us. The second stone is the stone of practice. In anything that you do in life, if you are going to do it well, you're going to have to practice. The first time, ladies, that you tried to bake a cake, it probably didn't work out too well because you didn't really know how. The second cake maybe got a little better. The third cake, the fourth cake, by the time that you got the process down, you knew how to bake a cake. Men, we may have a hobby that we enjoy, whether it be a sport like golf or tennis, or for my case, it's music. The first time I picked up a guitar, I made an absolute wreck out of it. The second time I picked it up, I still made a wreck out of it. But little by little, as I began to practice, as I began to gain, I got a little better and a little better. It takes practice to achieve what you want to achieve in life. David wasn't some young boy who never did anything. David worked hard as a shepherd boy. I mean, he killed a lion. Who in here could do that without a gun in hand? He killed a bear. Who could do that without a gun in hand? You know, success in anything is due because you have worked at it and worked at it and gotten better and better through practice. So we need that second stone. With our Christianity, this isn't something that we're really good at the beginning. I keep referring in the past to the 3,000 souls that were added to the church on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people delivered their lives to God on that day, and 3,000 people went home and did not have a clue how to be a Christian. Peter didn't tell them that part. They had to go home and learn and practice Christianity and learn how to do it. takes practice. The third stone that we need is the result of that practice. Commitment. We develop a commitment to our God. David got involved. David wasn't even supposed to be there. He wasn't supposed to be in the army. He wasn't supposed to be a soldier. He wasn't supposed to fight. But when he saw what was going on, he said, "Hey, I'm not going to let this keep on. We're going to bring an end to this right now." And can you imagine the look on Saul's face when David went up to him and said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant, me, little David, will go and fight with this Philistine." Can you imagine how Saul felt with that? "Why, you're nothing but a little boy. This man is 9-10 feet tall. How can you fight someone like that?" Well, he did. And there's another thing about David. He didn't just look around and see what other people had to say about it. Saul's rebuttal, his brother's rebuttal, didn't stop him one bit. He had commitment. He had determination. He was willing to make whatever sacrifice he needed to make to face this giant. And he was willing to pay the cost. We need commitment as a Christian. We can't afford to back down every time someone stands against us and our Christianity. We must stand firm. Regardless of what the outcome is, we must stand firm in our God. The fourth stone is the stone of prayer. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 18 and continuing through verse 29, we read a prayer from David. It is a prayer of thanksgiving to God. Now, I won't read this because it's a long passage. But here we find David praising God. He's praising God for his love. He's praising God for his guidance. He's praising God for his blessings. And he's also asking God for his help. And I do hope that we emulate that in our lives today as well. You know, usually the very first thing that we say in public prayer is, "Thank you, God, for what you have done for us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you, God, for giving us another day." You see, we can also go to God and ask for help. "God, help me with my addiction. Help me with my trouble. Help me with my trials." You see, God is our greatest source of strength and help. He is our greatest source of courage to help us overcome something that we really don't think we can handle. Now, we all know that if David had went out onto that battlefield against Goliath without God, he would not have prevailed. But God was with him. God stood with him. God strengthened him. God helped him. And my friends, this same God will do this for you and me today. And we have to believe that. We have to know that God is on our side. I'm looking at some people in this room right now that without God would not be here. We need to know that God is with us. The final stone is the stone, the Word of God. Every one of us, either in our hands, in the pew in front of you, probably maybe in your car, in your home, we have it. Every one of us have God's Word. We have several copies of God's Word in our home because in our home, we don't throw the Bible away. I still have the first one I ever had sitting on a table in Mandy's old bedroom. It sits there every day. It was the first one given to me in the third grade. I will never get rid of that. Not because it was a third grade gift. But because of what is inside. The first words, in the beginning, God. That's all it needs to say to make it valuable. God's word is valuable. God's word is that which can give you everything in eternity. And we need it. We need it here. We need it now. We need it to help us cope with what we face next. We need it now to help guide us through this life that we live in. You know, Paul told us in Ephesians 6:13, we need to use it as an armor. We need to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because look what we face in battle. We have a Goliath facing in battle. And that Goliath is the devil himself. And we face that devil. We face that Goliath. And if we don't do it with God's word in our hand, we lose. Simple as that. We need it. David was not able to use the armor of Saul. But he walked out there onto that battlefield and he had the armor of God. And that is all that he needed. He was skillful, not only with the sling, but he was skillful with knowing God. And my friend, that's far greater armor than we could ever attain elsewhere. We need to be skilled in God's word. This goes back to the Old Testament. It comes from David himself. Psalm 119, verse 105. God's word is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, we read these words, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to that is written in it. For men will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It all comes from God's word. God's word gives. God's word blesses. God's word teaches. Solomon joins in this thought in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. He said, my son, do not forget the law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. God's word will give you things. It is a giving law. He is a giving God. And the New Testament is also filled with admonishments of understanding, learning, and abiding by God's word. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, but you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And he told the church in Colossae, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. God's word will do all of that for you. It will give you the things that you need. So in concluding this lesson, let me ask you today, how do you face your Goliaths? They're real. They are powerful. But I am declaring to you today that God is more powerful. And with God's help, we can overcome our Goliaths. With Christ, we can overcome the sin in our lives. And we can have that reward of heaven. I'm not going to ask you if you have a Goliath in your life. I know you do, because everybody does. The question is, what do you do with your Goliath? Today, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you are being controlled by the Goliath of sin in your life. And it is a battle that you cannot win. Come to Jesus. Obey His word. Give your life to Him. And God will fight with you. He will fight for you. And you can win this battle. Christian, if your Goliath is winning in your battle, If you have let your guard down and you have become overwhelmed by the sin of in your life, you can still win the battle. Bring God back into your life. Repent of the things that have caused you to walk away from Him, to lose His protection, and get it back. And God will fight for you again, and you can have this victory. But remember, you cannot do this alone. You must have God on your side. Five smooth stones. We put these things into our lives, and we will beat Goliath in our lives. Today, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.